Well, good afternoon. It's wonderful to be here. I was going to say, would you just ball up your fists and give the next man next to you a little pound and say, it's good to see you? Yeah. I want to help some of y'all. You know, when we have finger food that we got to touch, I don't want to shake your hand and then touch my sound. So can I just start giving you a pound so you just understand? Well, that's a whole nother subject. But I want you to understand that this is truly a blessing to be here, and I've had an opportunity to go back and listen to all the talk so far. I've been out of town, plus doing some ministry in other places out of town as well, so I've missed the last couple of weeks, but I did go back, and before I even decided what I was going to minister to you today, I actually listened to all the other talks, because I thought, we want to just stay in the same vein, in the same place as everybody else is ministering to you. I also want to add this. Yesterday I went to my last Kairos meeting. And Kairos is, for some of you guys that may not be aware, it is like the Great Banquet, but it is actually at Miami Correctional Facility. We actually have about 23 slots of prayer times that need to be filled in. If you are wanting to do that, would you please contact Dan Seagrave, Bob Bonestill, or myself, and we will get you on that prayer vigil, because we still need about 23 slots filled in. We need covered in prayer, and obviously the men, that the guests that we are going to minister to over that weekend, and that will be next weekend, need ministry as well. Well, without further ado, I want to talk to you today about frustration. I think many of us have been frustrated with things that go wrong or awry in our lives. And to be honest with you, as men, we find that we allow frustration to rule and guide how we behave, how we talk, what we do, how we act, how we interact with others. I would even say even how we interact with our family, just due to frustration. I can think of many times that I had a long day at work. I come home, and you know, I know some of you like to say, you know, well, aren't you supposed to be a pastor? Didn't you just walk right in and get on your knees and start praying? And I say, no, not before I turned on ESPN. And your kids come and they want to talk to you, and because you're so distracted or so caught up in trying to get away from your day, that sometimes you can even ignore your kids or your wife and your family time just because you're very frustrated. Or the least little thing causes you to blow your top because you're frustrated. And so I want to talk to you today about dealing with frustration. I want to talk to you about some of the signs of when frustration occurs, and then kind of what we do in frustration as well, and what God says about us, our frustration. The feelings of frustration can come in a blink of an eye. It can happen when we become very overwhelmed with a situation or a circumstance that may occur in our life. It happens when we are challenged by a life obstacle or dealing with depression, the lack of faith or trust in people, or when your faith or your belief in God and what He will or can do for you has reached what we would call maybe a valley moment. As a pastor, the feelings of frustration is a battle that must be fought daily. And I'm sure it's not just a pastor. I'm sure you fight the battle of frustration daily as you walk with God. Sometimes as a pastor, one of the issues is we get placed on this pedestal that, you know, we can't have any failures. And I would tell you, please don't put us on a pedestal, because as soon as you do, we're going to fall off of it. And that's because we're no more on a pedestal than you. This is a gift that and a calling. It's actually a calling that we've been called to. And the gifts that God has given us, we use with that calling. But we are no better or no greater than you. The real truth of the matter is, if you have the Holy Spirit, everybody in here has the same rules. And I know sometimes we try to say the pastor or the deacon or the person that's active in a ministry has more rules than you do. But the real truth of the matter is we all operating under the same rules. The only difference is if you call yourself just a pew member, you get a pass, whereas, you know, you won't give, you know, the pastor a pass. I know I'm telling the truth there. I'll tell you a little story, and I told this story on my banquet weekend, and I actually told it, I'm going to tell it when I go into the prison, but it's the story of when I came to Kokomo. And when I came to Kokomo, you know, about a year prior to coming to Kokomo, when God told me, I'm going to send you to Kokomo, you're going to pastor, people are going to love you, you know, I don't know if that was God saying that, but that was, you know, me adding to what God wanted to say. People are going to love you, you know, you're going to affect souls all over the city. And so, boy, I started writing, you know, a vision down, and I'm starting preparing myself for the whole year to leave. I'm praying and fasting. You know, I used to be real spiritual back then. And I was just preparing myself. So I had told my wife. My wife was on board, but my wife and my kids were going to stay behind until my kids got out of school, and then they were going to come. And so in March of 2003, I loaded up a U-Haul, and I started towards Kokomo. In that U-Haul, it took me about 14 hours. That truck wouldn't go over 55 miles an hour. It was disgusting. There were times I was going about 30 miles an hour through the mountains. And I remember, you know, getting close to Kokomo, and boy, I'm like, I can't wait to get into Kokomo. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to preach. Souls are going to be saved. And I pulled up to that light right where that Gas America is. And just beyond that light is a sign that says Kokomo 4 miles. And so when I went past that light, I told you I was real spiritual then. I said, boy, I'm going to pray. I'm going to anoint this sign with oil, anoint me with oil, and I'm going to pray. And so I pulled the U-Haul over. It's probably about 3:30, 4 in the morning. Pulled the U-Haul over, got out of the car, took my oil, threw it on the sign, poured oil on myself, fell on the ground, prostrate, and just began to just thank God and pray. And I was awakened by the lights of police. Out of my spiritual slumber, as I looked up, with guns pointed at me, mind you. And they told me that the Gas America had just got robbed, and what was I doing laying in the grass? I should have known then to turn around and run. But I remember, you know, after I told the guys, you know, I'm just praying, I'm a pastor, I'm going to win souls. They kind of looked at me like, yeah, this nut didn't rob Gas America. He's just a nut. But as I started the journey and things didn't quite work out the way that I envisioned them to work out, and I became very frustrated. And it changed some of the course of the direction I was going. I thank God for the valley moments even here in Kokomo, because it taught me something about being humble. It taught me something, because I'm telling you, I was not a very humble person. And I don't think that you can walk around and say, I'm humble. But what has to happen is people, humility is a spirit. It's not based on how much money you have, because some of you have been broken, you're not humble. It's not based on your circumstance or situation. Humility truly is a spirit. And when you have a spirit of humility, people will just know it. You won't have to, you know, toot your own horn, so to speak. But in frustration, I found myself committing sins and doing things that I shouldn't do. Look at your handout, and I just want to read a simple passage of Scripture to you. And it's Luke 10, 38 through 42. Very simple story. And it reads, now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and it's talking about Jesus. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." In verse 38, and if you just keep looking at those scriptures, because I just want to minister out of that, the first thing that you see that happens is that Martha welcomed him into her house. Do you not understand that you can say that I want a relationship with Christ and I welcome him into my life, but if your agenda doesn't change, him being there won't mean a hill of beans difference in your life. Welcoming him to your life is not all that you have to do. If you have another agenda, you can have God or Christ the Holy Spirit really close to you, and you don't even recognize that the Spirit is close to you because you're too busy working. You're too busy running to the store. You're too busy trying to gather things. One of the things that I remember Mr. Bollinger, I call him Mr. Bollinger, before he passed away, he talked about when he was just trying to get things, a boat, a car, a house, a motorcycle, and these things, an airplane, and these things became important, but when he got sick, he found out that none of those things meant a hill of beans. You're going to find out that the things that you are seeking after that are not, and there's nothing wrong with wanting a house. There's nothing wrong with wanting a car. There's nothing wrong with having a motorcycle. So for all you that have a house, a car, a motorcycle, you're not going to hell today. There's nothing wrong with having these things, but these things can never be more important than the agenda of why God even gave you salvation. It was so that you could go and help somebody else. Understand, I say this all the time. If every soul saved a soul, every soul would be saved. How often do you let your agenda go to really do what Christ wants you to do in your life? In the next thing, you see that it says she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I thought about this and I said, man, frustration. Where does my frustration really come? Is it really my job? Is it just my job? Is it my financial condition? Because you can work every day and still be broke. Is it, I tried to look for things outside of my home that what makes me have frustration. And I did something. I took a walk around my house. And I said, what really ticks me off around here? I saw shoes, not straightened up, but laid all over rooms in my kids' room. And I said, I don't like that. I went into the kitchen where my children had probably, ate a bowl of cereal. And instead of the bowl being in the dishwasher, there it is with milk and the cereal still laying in the bowl. And I said, that ticks me off. I looked around and I saw bedrooms. And I asked every morning, just straighten up your room a little bit before you leave out of here. Beds tore up. And I said, I don't like this. And I thought about my attitude towards my children. Before they can even come home sometimes and say, hey, Dad, I made a B or I did this at school. The first things out are everything that I thought was wrong. And I said, why does that add to this scripture? Because the people that probably frustrate you the most are the people that are closest to you. A lot of times we can blow off a stranger, but it's that person that you might have to deal with every day is when your frustration shows. And I will say this, we're good, I wouldn't call us hypocrites, but we're good fakers. Because there are times we will come in here and hug another man, but you won't go home and hug your wife and your kids because you're frustrated. So it really does start at home sometimes. It may start with the people that you work with every day. How could you come in here and see me once a week and hug me and tell me it's good to see me, and you do that never with the people that you work with every day? Think about that. Family can frustrate you the most. But in verse 40, something happens, and it says, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Distractions. What are the distractions that are in your life that would cause you not to be able to hear Christ as he speaks? Have you ever thought about this? Think about this. Jesus is having a conversation. The one that healed the blind, the one that walked on water, the one that fed 4,000 and 5,000, the one that healed leprosy. He's talking. And yet, Martha never heard anything he had to say. Have you ever thought that your frustration and your distractions, that God is trying to speak to you and you can't hear anything he has to say? Distractions will lead to something. It leads to complaining. Because the first thing out of her mouth was, what a wonderful message you're preaching, Jesus. Not, you're just so awesome, I can't believe you said that. But the first thing out of her mouth was, do you not care? How often do our prayers, based on our frustration, lead to complaining prayers? Not, Lord, I thank you for my family. Lord, I thank you for the clothes on my back. I thank you that gas did go down to $3.13 this week. But all your prayers become complaints. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, help me with this. Lord, I need that. Instead of really being thankful and grateful for what he has already done. The real truth of the matter is, and all of us can say this, all the things that we ask for, how many of us really deserve it? Do you really deserve? Hasn't he already done enough? He came into your house and you don't even want to listen to him. Hasn't he done enough? But yet, we complain. And you know what happens when we complain? Then we start to feel all alone. Then you start thinking, remember, that's what she said, you left me to serve all alone. Can you imagine having a relationship with God, but yet you feel all alone? Why? Because God hasn't done what you said? So instead of you hearing what God wants to do for you, you would rather tell him what you want him to do for you. As if you know God's will better than he knows it for yourself. Isn't that amazing? That you feel alone. Here you are with the greatest gift that man could have, the Holy Spirit, and you say, I'm all alone. I understand. I'm sure, and if anybody feels led today, if you want to come pay my mortgage, my insurance on my car, and give me a little small salary, we'll take it. But just because you won't do those things for me, I am not all alone. As a matter of fact, I'm in a room full of a whole bunch of guys that are worried about their mortgage. I'm in a room full of a whole lot of guys that may be dealing with some financial crunches in their life. I'm in a room with a bunch of guys that struggle with forgiveness. I'm in a room with a bunch of guys that deal with lust. I'm in a room with a bunch of men of God that really struggle walking with God daily and dedicating their lives to him. Look at another man and say, you're not alone. Yeah. You're not alone. You're not alone. This is why we come together, just to prove to you that you're not alone. That's why we're here together, to let you know we're in this thing together. Everybody has some challenge or some struggle. So you're not alone. And especially when you have Christ in your life, he says he'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. How many of us have gotten so far away from God that you feel all alone? Because a lot of times when we bring sin into the equation, that makes you feel more all alone, more isolated. Now you can't even, now it's like you have to hide, but there's nowhere to hide. You try to hide by yourself, but it doesn't work because God finds you every time. We say God is everywhere, but we don't really believe it. It's amazing that we can go and do things that are completely against the will of God. And yet, we would act like if Jesus was standing right there, would you really do that? And yet Martha, with Jesus standing right in her face, said, I'm all alone. And in the last verse, frustration, and I want to say this, frustration then becomes your lack in faith and trust in God. You start to not believe that God cares about you. You start to believe that God won't fix your circumstance, based maybe even on something that you did wrong. How many have ever walked in guilt for a long time? That you say, the reason why God won't do this is because I did A, B, C, and D. And I would say, he knew you was going to do A, B, C, and D, and E, and F. So if he was trying to hold what you did against you, he had a whole litany of things he could have used against you before you got to now. And so he wasn't using your past against you, and he's certainly not going to use your present against you. He does want us to walk in obedience. In verse 41, Jesus says something that is so profound. He said, Martha, you are distracted about many things. Sometimes we think it's just one thing that got us all messed up. If God would just let me win the lottery, I know that I would then serve him. And I'm going to tell you right now, and if you won't serve him broke, you sure not going to serve him with $183 million. You can't change your character in a day. And you're going to realize this as well. Certainly, would you have financial freedom? Of course you would. But after you buy all the things that you want, if you were an empty person before you got the money, after you get your little toys around you, you're going to be empty again. There's a lot of people that are homeless that kill themselves. And there's a whole bunch of people that live in big fancy houses that kill themselves as well. So what you are is who you are. And money is not going to change who you are. And so right now you need to understand, if you are depressed, discouraged, angry, bitter, all of these things, it's not just one thing that has you like this. You're distracted by many things. But Jesus gave good news. Everybody say, good news. I know I had you in depression for a while. Now I want to give you some good news. And he said, Mary has chosen, one thing is needed, and Mary chose the good part, which will not be taken away. The first thing that you need to realize is you're going to have to make a choice. And what is the choice? What will you do when you become distracted by your frustration? Are you going to behave the same way that you've always behaved? Or are you going to change your pattern of your life? The second thing that we all need to learn to do when we get frustrated, learn to be silent. Don't say anything when you're angry and upset. The one thing about Mary, here she is with Jesus. Martha's talking about her like a dog, and you never hear Mary say one single word. She let God fight her battle. You need to learn to be silent when you find those feelings of frustration. Don't always talk, because you may say something and put your foot in your mouth. The third thing, don't always respond to your frustration. You don't have to have an answer for everything that goes wrong in your life. What you really need to do is give it to God. Ask God to give you strength during these times of frustration. And the last thing, as I close, believe that it's just temporary. I know that some of us struggle because you've been dealing with something for a very long time. Sometimes it can be even illness. Sometimes it can be dealing with a loved one. Sometimes it could be dealing with a job that maybe you're not pleased with and you need God to open up another door and avenue in that job. Sometimes it can just be the job, period. When I look at some of these policemen that are in here, I'm thinking, man, I thank God for y'all. Y'all protect and serve, please, because I'm not going to go out here and deal with these fools the way you got to deal with them. I know. Y'all look at me. I'm serious. I mean, who really wants to deal with drunk people that don't want to listen? High people that, you know, just doing their own thing. I mean, who really wants to deal with that every day? I have a hard enough time with church people. Yeah. Seriously. And they're supposed to know the Lord. But the truth be told, this is all temporary. You have to understand that even the things that you go through, it's temporary, especially when you let God speak in the situation. Do you not realize that you can go through something and God can be speaking to you and you'll have a good day? Let God rule and reign over your life. Behave in your frustrations as if he's standing right there. What would he want you to do? How would he want you to react? Don't allow your frustrations to overwhelm you and to overtake you. Don't just welcome him in your house, but change your agenda. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this time with these men, and I thank you for the word today. I ask, oh God, that even as they begin to talk in their tables, that men that are frustrated, men that are distracted, men that are going through, men that are really, really struggling with their lives and maybe some issue or struggle that they have in their life. I ask that right now, Father, that you begin to give strength. Father, not only strength, but give us greater wisdom, that we would walk in your spirit, that we wouldn't just be talkers, but we will become doers of your word. And I just ask, Father, that you just help us each and every day. And for those financial situations, for that marriage, for those problems with children, Father, I just ask that you just give us the guidance necessary. Father, our way won't work, but your way will. And let us hear your voice when we face the largest obstacles that we have in our lives. And we'll give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And would everyone say amen?
Amen.
God bless you, guys.